got this hope. We've got a future. We've got the power of the resurrection living within. We've got this hope. We've got a promise that we are held up and protected in the palm of His hand. And even when our hearts are breaking, even when our souls are shaken, oh, 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 we've got this hope. Oh, 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 oh. Even when the tears are falling, even when the night is calling, oh, 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 we've got this hope.
Well, there you are, and welcome back to Redemption's Table. I'm Robert Barge, your host. We've just heard one of my favorite singers, Ellie Holcomb, sing We've Got This Hope off of her Red Sea Road album. And it is always a delight to bring today's special guest, Steph Cherry, to the table. You never know what or who might wander through the conversation. There might be a tornado in the backyard, or a birthday visit with a capybara at a local petting zoo. I mean, do you even know what a capybara is? I didn't before Steph and I had this talk. Or it might be the art of being an uncommon friend during someone else's difficult season. I can promise you there is beauty, wit, wisdom, and hope here at the table today. So thank you for joining us. Let's get started. Well, how are you?
Good. How are you?
It has been a minute since we've chatted.
I know. How you doing?
I am, to borrow a line from a television character, is it a work in progress?
Well, that's all very vague, Robert.
I speak in vagaries. I mean, vagaries is a word, right?
Okay.
But I look and I see you've got a lot of things going on. Looks like your counseling ministry is growing. Looks like your boho table, the feeding of the homeless and underneath the interstates, that's doing well. So just unpack that a little bit. How is the year going in those areas and other areas?
I think the year is going really well in those areas. Like God has just... He's been reminding me of what a big need there is all around us. And like you were talking about the mess part, but like I think the mess drives you into wanting to help people and care about people. So I've been trying, that's what I've been really trying to do, is get more hope out into the world, Robert.
It's needed.
Yeah. In every way.
So what has been the moment thus far this year? Your favorite moment, and it doesn't necessarily have to be connected with, it doesn't have to be connected to anything other than your life. What's been, or you may have several.
This is hard.
That's a hard question.
My favorite moment?
Oh, it's easy for me, but I had the opportunity to think ahead of time.
Yeah, I had no opportunity to think here. My favorite moment. I don't know. I mean, all I think of is like stuff I'm doing with my family. Like every time we do things together, those are my favorite moments. Like one of my highlights this year was on my birthday, we went and pet capybaras.
You pet what?
Capybaras.
Capybaras.
Yeah, they're like a little, well, they're actually, if you were had a groundhog, you know, and they're like this big, tall, then you have a capybara. They're just a cute little animal, and you can go pay and hang out with them and feed them.
Wow. It's kind of like swimming with the whales or the dolphins, right?
That's what I would never do that. I have no desire to do that whatsoever.
I would love to with the dolphins. Whales might be very intimidating. Fun, but yeah. Capybaras. I'll have to look that one up. Do you have photos of y'all petting the capybaras?
Of course, we have selfies with them, Robert.
Selfies with the capybaras. Ooh, yeah. That might be the title of this episode.
A selfie or it didn't happen. Yeah. And my kids loved it. That's the whole point, right? Like,
exactly. It's just
great bonding.
For me, the moment was, and it just totally caught me off guard. I happened to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area during the eclipse. And my son, high school baseball coach, head coach, decided to take the morning off. He was right in the middle of baseball season, but he took his morning off and took the girls out of school and had a picnic on his baseball field. And the eclipse began. And then when the moment hit, that 3 minutes, I think it was 2 minutes, 58 seconds, something like that. I now know why people chase those things. Every time there is an eclipse, it was tremendously awe-inspiring. It was just like you just stepped into another dimension, and it was just a wow moment. So that was one of the moments. And then another one I had was very simple. I was in Nashville at a conference, taking a break, and there was an old bridge crossing a creek, like an old trestle-type bridge. And just stepping out on the creek, it was in June. It was hot already a little bit, but the breeze coming off of that creek and just the way it was, there was a breeze and got drawn into that moment. And that one, I could not have expected. There was no anticipation for that I would even cross this bridge, but that it would be so moving. And of course, it was just telling me within that 5 minutes that I just stood there and soaked all that in, how there was a part of my soul that was exceedingly parched, and how filling that was, how refreshing that was. So
you brought another thing to my mind that I love so much. When I went to Tennessee in June, and my friend Kim, she is undergoing treatment for multiple myeloma, and God gave me a word. So I'll explain the word. So she just randomly started breaking bones, like reaching for a paper towel and her collarbone would snap. You know, she took a little tumble, broke her arm. They're like, oh, your femur's going to break. So she started having to undergo treatment. And they found out she had multiple myeloma, which this is what happens. All your bones just fall apart. And God gave me his word out of Proverbs 16, you know, like sweet words heal bones. And so I just started like recording scripture and sending it to her, posting it or whatever, of me saying it out loud. And so in June, we went on a little adventure. Like, she finished a round of this infusion therapy that she was doing. I got to go to that and I got to say scripture every place we went to, which was really great. Just, wow. I was like, leave a blessing, right? And I was like, this is all sacred. God loves to heal. And every time he shows up, it's sacred. Like we're on holy ground. But, you know, we went and stayed in a hobbit village. We stayed at Reba McEntire's horse barn, which was pretty insane. Now, I have sub stories for that, but not for our podcast. But anyway, so, but then we went on the Great Smoky Mountain Railroad. We went all these places, just like this. Thank you for getting us to this point in this cancer journey, right?
Wow.
And but every place we went to, we read through the Psalms, we read Proverbs, we read just out loud, like leaving a blessing and being grateful for where we had gotten to. That's probably one of my big highlights, just us getting to be together and me getting to speak over her in person.
That's incredible. That is an uncommon Holy Spirit led serendipitous journey.
Yeah, it was lovely. And yeah. You know how it is, just getting to be with people you love. Just, it's so refreshing for your soul.
Wow. The words you were reading were words of scripture.
Yeah, we read all through Psalms and Proverbs, mostly Psalms. But yes, and I just started, I was like, we're just going to keep going and declaring God's, he's fighting for you so much in the Psalms. He declares his love for you. Yeah, there's all this just beautiful imagery there.
Wow, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not to pick up on your word, beautiful, but that is...
It's a great word.
It's a great word. So I forgot what your word of the year was.
I wish you well. Well.
I wish you well. Okay, there you are.
Well just carries so much stuff, right?
It does.
Healing, it's deep, it's full of water, it draws you in. Like, it was a lot. I put on Facebook, if people wanted me to pray for their word, I took all their little bubbles. Like, I made those little sticker bubbles, and I put them all over my calendar. So I pray for them all the time.
Well, I think my word had been, it was a carryover from the year before, possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think mid-year my word shifted a little bit, and I'm not really sure the full magnitude of what it means, other than it is the full magnitude of what it means, everything. The word is everything. And that came about, it was another moment. I after returning from one of my trips to Texas, I got the opportunity to see Jess Ray and Taylor Lenhart in concert there in Birmingham. And there were two songs they sang, and one of them was called Everything, and the other one was called In Everything. And both those songs were new to me. I had somehow missed them when they'd released them earlier.
Well, you heard them right when you were meant to, right?
I did, yeah. And, you know, I did not connect the two words, time, possible, everything, all things are possible, everything's possible, but I don't know. I mean, I'm still unpacking, what does that mean? That's pretty broad.
Well, it's everything, Robert. Yeah.
I know, it means everything. What about books? What book, I think the way I rephrased it in our text, I said, what has been the most influential book you have read this year? And what I mean by that is influential to your life.
Robert, I can't pick one book.
Come on, you have one best friend, right?
No. Well, I mean, like my husband, but, you know, you're locked in there, right? I was in school through the end of May. So I had to read a lot of books, and then I got way ahead of my schedule. So I kind of been doing what you're doing, and I reread a couple things. Right now I'm reading Surprised by Joy, C.S. Lewis. I'll tell you my favorite authors first. Okay. Jamie Winship, okay. Living Fearlessly. So I love Susie Larson. I don't know if you ever see any of her stuff. She's just full of the Holy Spirit. And so, like, I follow her, and she's always just praying out loud and writing out blessings and all that. So I read one of her books, and then at the end, had somebody else. You know how this is? It's like I'm always add to cart, right? Like, so I get to the end of her book, and she had a guy, his name is Brant Hansen, and he has Asperger's, and he writes about experiencing God through his brain, which is an emotional.
Hmm.
And he's got this really quirky sense of humor, and he just sees things very differently. And I'm like, I love you. And so I've read a couple of his books. One of the ones I read was Blessed Are the Misfits. You would love it.
I would, yeah.
It's just really great. My honestly, my favorite books are probably kids' books, like Kate DiCamillo. But it's just because they tie your heart to a story.
Yeah.
I read The Secret Life of Sunflowers, which is about Van Gogh, which I've read a lot about Van Gogh. I really am interested in him. And then I read a book recently called Big Magic, which some of it was like, I was like, oh, that's a lot. But for the most part, it was very encouraging for creatives, and it just, it gives you that little spark. Sometimes when you're a creative person, you're like up and down and up and down, and you're so highly sensitive. We're just taking in all this stuff. So then you end up like laying on the floor on your face. And you're like, oh yeah, I got to get the spark going again, right? And so it was very good for that.
My book is How to Walk Into a Room
Oh, that's on my list.
by Emily P. Freeman. This one, more than any others, I mean, it just, and I've read some good books, but there's a quote here. In essence, I'm going to give you the essence, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to find a quote so I can actually say it. You walk into a room not to find yourself. And a lot of people do that to try to find themselves in a room. How to walk into a room is when you reach the point where you walk into the room, you know who you are. You know who you are, the giftings that God has given you that are true gifts of Him, not a lifestyle or whatever you've chosen for yourself. She actually quotes someone else. Dr. Natasha Sistrunk Robinson.
That's a lot. It's a mouthful.
That is, sure is. There are some places that you cannot go to find yourself to figure out who you are. The only way you survive it is that you know who you are when you get there. And after reading that book, it was in my understanding of the spiritual gifts that God has given me and also the particular personality, wiring, Myers-Briggs, INFJ. When I went to worship one Sunday morning and I walked into worship knowing who I was and not really thinking about anything else other than knowing who I am in Him and that He is God. Jesus is the one who said, This is you. This is who you need to be. I am leading you in your uniqueness. And I'm going to pause right there and say, everybody could say what I'm saying because we're all unique. And be true to yourself. Don't be who everybody, to quote Lionel Richie and the Commodores, everybody wants me to be what they want me to be. I'm not happy when I try to fake it. The next line goes, that line resonates with me. So just be who you are, be you. And again, there's a way you could take that you could twist it to justify anything that you're doing. But that's not the how the book is written, and that's, it's just.
This reminds me, so my favorite book probably of the year was Living Fearlessly, Jamie Winship. I read it last year too, but he in chapter three, he's like, hey, your identity, that's why you're not operating as your full self. You have no idea who you are. And he's like, why don't you just stop right where you are and ask God to tell you what your identity is? And I was like, this is so powerful, right? Like, have you ever asked him? So, and that reminded me of Andre, my tour guide in Israel, because he was like, that's what's wrong with America. You're all having an identity crisis because everybody's trying to tell you what to be and who you are. But who you actually are is what's important.
Yeah, one day I walked away, not walked away, but I just left for the end of the day, end of my work day, and I grabbed Spotify. to make a playlist. And my playlist was one song to find as many different singers who sing that song. The original is Harry Nilsson. Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Because that particular day, and actually for several days, not just there, but in other places, it was like everybody was trying to, why don't you know, XYZ. And I'm like, because that's not the calling that I have on this particular day. XYZ is not where I'm in. There are other times you need to be very open to the Holy Spirit because he very well may be leading you. You can't control that. But then again, you also, when he's given you your purpose and others bring along a side purpose that is not quite that, what your purpose is. It's just, again, being, I know who I'm, who, well, for this week at least, for this 24 hours at least, I know what I'm supposed to be doing.
I like it. You made me think of something else I read, Robert. So Dr. Kurt Thompson, he was talking about how when we want to fix everybody else, that means there's something in us that needs to be fixed. Like if we have a plan for everyone else's life, so it's really evaluating it. But he has this whole confessional community thing that he promotes. And one of the things that people were talking about was this 4-book series that I read, which was called Sensible Shoes. And in the Sensible Shoes is like these people who go for spiritual direction and they end up in this confessional community. But what I fell in love with was, so if you have a spiritual director, like their job description, it says they listen to your life and see what God is up to and help you see it too. And I was like, so few people are doing that. You know, they're looking at, here's my plan for your life. And here's what I'm doing. But actually paying attention to what God might be saying to someone else. I'm listening to your life to see what God might be saying to you.
Yeah, I love that. You listen to see.
Yeah, like, I want that job. How do you get it? Yeah. Where's the training?
Well, I mean, one of the things we put into practice at the clinic where I work is after we see the client separately and before they are seen together by a nurse, we pause. And mm-hmm. it's a 20 to 30 second listening prayer. And we empty ourselves out and we invite God to speak into that situation, to their unique lives mm-hmm. before we step into the room. We also pray before we go in to see them to begin with, but then there's a pause prayer in the middle, which I greatly appreciate that under the leadership of our executive director, who this past year has said this is needed. And I totally agree with her.
I love that. I mean, that's just a beautiful way to caretake somebody.
Yeah.
They don't even know it.
Yeah. I heard on a podcast the other day, I believe it came from Alan Arnold, who often co-hosts with John Eldridge on Wild at Heart. And he was talking about, it's just a little simple change of wording. I knew what he said. I've known it all along, but to hear him phrase it, he said, so often we think we are, what we are doing as we are listening to God's voice in our lives to go and serve, minister, in our minds, we are doing this for God. And he just says, we don't do anything for God. We do things with God.
Oops.
And that's a huge shift mm-hmm. in thinking. Because somewhere in the midst of every good intention that we have, well, God, I'm doing this for you. Or that just, even we may not say those words, but they get into our spirit. This ought to be working because this is for you.
Right.
He's like, really? It's for me?
Yeah, I've heard someone talk about sometimes we have an unhealthy relationship in how we try to interact with God, like what you're talking about. Like we're trying to people please him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'm just enjoying you. You know, you're the beloved. I'm loving getting to work with you and you're running around trying to kill yourself. You know, checking your boxes, right?
And guilty. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look back over, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I looked at all I was doing. And I was like, how in the world was I? I was loving every bit of it.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Yeah. And you're like, why was I trying so hard?
I heard the author of The Shack talking about how, to me, his story of how that book was written and why that book was written, his life before that book, is more mesmerizing to me than the actual book. I read the book and I was like, okay, just kind of shrugged my shoulders and it didn't connect with me. But just something he said as he was talking about that, he said, "You trust the ripples."
Mm.
In other words, God leads you to do something, you do it. Trust the ripples that come from that, whatever that is. And sometimes you actually get to see the ripples.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you're one-on-one with somebody, you don't see the ripples that what you're doing and how God's using you in their lives are going. You don't see the ripple effect. But when you do something, just trust the ripples. Trust what God will do.
Right.
So.
You just want to love people.
Yeah.
You are a deep human being, right? I'm the same. We're the same. I'm like, I think we probably annoy people, which I can't believe it, because we're always like, did you read this? Did you see this? Did you feel that? And then, you know, we want everybody to come, but people don't all want to come.
Mm-mm.
And sometimes they're like, can we just like eat a burger and not talk about that? And I've learned like, there's places, there's ripples that God has sent you toward. There's people, all the things, but you really do have to weigh out who, what, when, where, and is this your person to share with?
Yeah.
And so, because you want to tell everybody, well, they're not all like receiving of it. So learning that. And reminding yourself that no matter how people receive you, that you still are such high value, right?
Yeah.
And you're a beautiful human being and you love the things of God, and some people don't. And that's okay. But you know what happens is like when push comes to shove and those people have their worst day, you're the person they're going to call.
Yeah. Well, we miss one another. I don't know, 2-3 years ago, I had the thought of, and I asked forgiveness for the sin of missing people. And what I mean by that is you look back over your life and you realize, oh, God brought this person into my life during this season, this friend, and I didn't really give them any time to be my friend. And I missed a gift.
That's good.
And I said, God, forgive me for those, the people I've missed, the people I should have been paying attention to, instead of the ones I was. And I'm talking about in the broader day to day. And then I thought, and how many people missed me too? Totally didn't get you. You didn't, you personally, they had an image of who they wanted you to be when you stepped in as their counselor, as their youth minister, as their pastor. You didn't fit what they wanted, the box that was created, and you kept getting out of the box. And it's like, you know, well, we can't be having this, so we're gonna get you out of the box. You want to get out of the box. Well, you know, you don't have a box anymore. Go on, shoo. But you know, we miss people, and just like, wow. If I had only been more patient, if I had only been paying greater attention, because I realize there are people who I'm like, wow, they were such a good friend. And I was such a awful friend because I was wanting to be friends with somebody else.
And there's grace for that, too.
I'm glad. Yeah, there's grace for everything. Everything. Yeah. Mercy and grace.
We're growing. God knows that.
Yeah.
And we want the good, and we get confused about what that looks like.
Yeah. So, where the year began, where you are right now in the year, has the year gone like you expected it to? Has the year thrown you some curveballs?
Okay. So, has the year gone How I thought. So on a lot of levels, yes. I was in school, so that was kind of like a steady thing. You know, your basic milestones throughout your year, those are looked like I thought they would look, right? Like great, lovely, beautiful. I really try to cultivate memories. So those things have looked like I thought they would look. My loop that I got thrown for, you know, we had a tornado and that took out like six massive trees and then ruined our yard, ripped off part of our carriage house roof, destroyed just so much stuff. I'm still cleaning up from it. And it was pretty devastating. Even on the back of our house that I had spent months painting, there was so much hail, 85 mile an hour winds, and a tornado. It like just ripped strips of paint
Wow.
off the back. So I had to go back. I started scraping it all back down and doing all that. And me and Jesus have been having a lot of conversations about it because I was like, this is wasting my time. And I'm tired and I want to be doing something else. And I think he just like raises his left eyebrow at me like the Rock, you know? Like, why don't you sit there and pray? We'll have some chats and we'll work through whatever you're going through. That brought me to another book I read, The Body Revelation.
The Body Revelation by
Alisa Keaton.
Okay.
The Body Revelation: Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. And it's all a lot about how we tuck trauma away in our body, and you know, then you spend your life spinning those wheels. And she's like, you need to start moving, and you're going to listen to these things as you're moving, and we're going to process the trauma out of your body. You're going to hand it over. You're going to embrace your identity. You're going to like come to this new place, but you're not going to be doing it sitting there by yourself. You actually have to move. And we're going to get it out and we're going to change it. She says emotions are energy, so they have to be metabolized. So if they are either going to metabolize into something cancerous or something energetic that's life-giving, and the choice is ours, right?
Wow.
I've been listening to her as I work out each day. There's a chapter, and then she has like a little sn it's well 10 to 15 minute little audio that she's like, just walk, just do whatever you're doing and listen and let the words I'm speaking over you flow through, and then take what you're feeling to God and like let him have it to do with what he will. So that's been helping me process all my many feelings.
And so does that goes back to the wasting your time with the paint.
Well, and it's not just that. It's like you feel like I got this calling, right? Like I want to be over here with the people doing all the thing. And God is like, yeah, well, we have some business to take care of. And I need to process things out of my body. I've had a lot of trauma. I mean, you know, a lot, right? So just keeping dealing with that, and it just doesn't stop because you're a grown up. You don't quit getting traumatized. We know that, right? There's more and more people, and there's more and more layers. And there's times that I just look at my husband and I'm like, my nervous system is shot. And it's because of the behavior of people who should know better. And there you are sitting in the caustic effects of other people's behavior. And you're like, how on God's green earth do I navigate through this by while honoring and loving and showing Christ to people and also allowing this to become something beautiful inside my person instead of me holding on to it all, which is where I find all the time I tell people, I'm this house, right? And I always end up out doing something. I don't want to spend my life here scraping this again after I already did it. But he's like, yeah, it's time. We're gonna scrape that away again. Yeah. So here we are. But anyway, that has been really good for me.
Yeah, the way you describe God with his eyebrow up is the emoji that I discovered is dubious. But they would have thought you would name an emoji dubious.
Somebody went down deep in their scuba emoji thought wheel.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
I'll tell you something funny. My daughter's in this musical called Something Rotten, which is it has Shakespeare in it, and he's like a rock star. But anyway, there's this one song in there, and it made me think of you because there's a line. It says, "It's hard to be a bard."
Hard to be hard to be a bard. I like that.
Yeah, it made me think of you.
Oh, that might be a good place to end. It's hard to be a bard.
That can be our title. It's hard to be a bard.
Hard to be a bard and other, whatever the name of that animal is.
Exotic animals.
Exotic animals. Okay. You know, Cabba, I got to read that.
Correction.
Yeah. Well, always good talking to you.
You too.
I'm going to let the crowd go. And if you want to say anything about Reba's stallions or Reba's horses, you can tell me those stories off the record. So, all right. Until next time.
Thank Steph. You, Robert.
Our hope is founded on the promises that he made. And even when our hearts are breaking, even when our souls are shaken,